And with a lot of mixed feelings, we are now concluding Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account. Where we left off, in the middle of chapter 37. Following roll call, we were sent through a torturous passage to the baths. There we joined groups newly arrived from other camps. There must have been 10,000 of us crammed into this small area. A strong wind whistled between the walls of the castle. The mountain on which the camp was perched marked the beginning of the Alps, and the winters here were extremely rigorous. We learned that we could be taken into the baths in groups of 40. At that rate, I calculated it would take 3 days for everybody to bathe. The guards stationed here had been recruited from among German criminals, men serving terms for murder, larceny, and the like. Needless to say, they were the faithful servants of the SS. Today, their job consisted of grouping the deportees for the baths. Aryan prisoners went first. In fact, there were so many Aryans that I figured the Jews' turn would not come before the third day. To wait here for 2 days became a matter of life and death, for a prisoner could not enter the barracks and get himself enrolled on the list of those to be fed without first passing through the baths. For a person who was already exhausted, a 2-day wait without food would mean almost certain death. For either his legs would buckle, or his eyelids would yield to sleep, and he would sink into the hard-packed snow, never again to rise. Already about 100 prisoners were lying on the ground around me. No one was paying any attention to them, for each had all he could do to save himself. This was our final sprint towards the finish line of life. Reflecting on my situation, I decided that I could not spend the night outdoors without seriously imperiling my chances for survival. I had to get into the baths today. Poor Dennis was wandering aimlessly about, hatless, without his glasses, like a man asleep. His gaze was troubled, and he was muttering unintelligible words to himself as he walked. I took him by the arm and dragged him along with me, hoping that I could somehow get us both into the baths. But before we'd gone more than a few steps, he'd slipped away and was lost in the seething mass of humanity. I called his name, shouting at the top of my lungs, but to no avail. The wind was so strong I could hardly hear my own voice. Sensing the danger, I forced my way through the crowd and approached the steps leading down into the baths. At last, I worked my way to the front row. Several SS armed with rubber clubs were guarding the entrance. A group of 40 people was already assembled, waiting to go in. They were all Aryans. Once again, I made a snap decision. Leaving the crowd, I approached an SS Oberscharführer and addressed him in a self-assured tone of voice.
Herr Oberscharführer,
I'm the doctor for the Auschwitz convoy. Let me into the baths. He looked me over. My respectable clothes, perhaps my determined manner, or more likely, my perfect command of German, seemed to make an impression on him. At any rate, returning to his colleagues posted near the entrance, he said, "Let the doctor go inside." I descended alone, preceding the group of 40 who were waiting beside the stairway. Safe! And how easy it had been! Yes, sometimes it pays to make up one's mind on the spur of the moment. The warm air of the bath soon lent new strength to my almost frozen legs. After days and days of cold, at long last, a warm room. The bath itself did me a world of good. Our clothes were considered contaminated, and we had to give them up. I was sorry to hand over my overcoat, my suit, and my warm woolen sweater, but at least was happy to see that they let me keep my shoes. A good pair of shoes could easily be an important factor in saving one's life in the Katzet. I put my shoes back on and rejoined the group that had just finished bathing. Otherwise naked, we started back towards the path leading to the baths, where we waited for half an hour till there were enough of us to fill an entire barracks. After a warm bath, to remain outside in an icy wind, with a temperature close to zero, was to flirt with death. At length, another group of 40 joined us and we started off. The SS guard made us keep in step as we walked. But after marching only 50 yards, we reached barracks 33 of the quarantine camp. A prisoner wearing the familiar green insignia of a criminal offender was posted in front of the entrance, our barracks chief. He handed every newcomer a fourth of a loaf of bread. A little farther on, a clerk slapped a spoonful of margarine made of meat fat on the bread. We were also given half a pint of steaming hot coffee. After 10 days of privation, this seemed like a royal feast. Having downed my food, I looked around for a likely place to lie down and finally settled on a secluded corner where I judged that my chances of being walked on would be fairly slim. I lay on the floor, for there were no beds in the quarantine camp. Nevertheless, I slept soundly until reveille.